Sorry. Joshua chapter 10. And interesting that just a few moments ago, there's a few things that God sort of made stand out when we were reading that. I wish I would have thought of that stuff, but I don't get to think of anything. It's just some of those neat things that God kind of shows you. And preaching, if you've ever done any preaching or sharing the Word of God, you realize that just how little you have to do with it. You are just the instrument that God uses. And some of that stuff you get to hear and you say, wow, I wish I would have thought of that while you're preaching it. And you think, well, didn't you think of it? I said, not really. That was God. And it's good stuff. Joshua chapter 10, this is part 2. And I guess tonight's message will be Joshua chapter 10, part 2, subsection B. I don't know. It doesn't sound real exciting, but that's the way it is. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, again, we thank Thee for Thy great and marvelous grace that You have given us. Lord God, You truly are a good God. Lord, it says in Thy word that God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. Lord, we want to glory in the cross. It seems an odd thing that we can glory in the cross, that the world has marked that as an instrument of torture, an instrument of pain, an instrument of death and defeat. Lord, You've turned that death and defeat into a marvelous, wondrous victory. Lord, because Christ died on that cross for me. Lord, He rose again. Lord, we stand here in the blood of Jesus Christ this morning because of what You have done. Nothing could we bring to satisfy the just demands of a holy God. But Lord God, You've given Your truth. Lord, the world rests in lies. It says the whole world lieth in wickedness, Lord. But we know that You are the truth, and Your word is truth. Lord, guide us in that truth this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 10. Verse 15 is where we're going to pick it up. Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal after that marvelous victory that God had performed. Very long day. You think you put in a long day? That was the longest day that anybody ever put in. That was a long day. And God allowed them to have that. Had the sun stand still. Had the moon stand still. And God rained great hailstones out of heaven and killed the enemy. And there were more died by the hailstones than that Israel slew with the sword. That was a marvelous victory. Things had been accomplished. And you think, this is just a tremendous time. They're going to be on a high. And if you've ever come off a time where there's a great spiritual victory, you know that there is a massive, there's a great spiritual high there. And they come back to the camp and they're shouting and they're glorifying God. They've seen God do marvelous things. You know, folks, we don't have to see things rain down out of heaven, big rocks rain down out of heaven to realize that God's done some amazing things. But it's good sometimes to sit back and really sort of proclaim what God's done in your life. Every once in a while to come back after a victory and rehearse those victories. We're kind of modest in some ways. Very, very modest in the fact that, as you know, as Canadians, we're very reserved, got that British reserve to us, that, you know, we don't like to shout and holler too much because, you know, you wouldn't get into that. But it's all right to do that once in a while, to get excited about what God's done. And I think we need to get more excited. And, you know, I came from a background where the most thing you said in church was, You know, that was the sanctified, And it's still hard to get over that when I'm sitting down in the pew. But believe it or not, I'm loud up here, but I'm going to sit in the pew. The first thing that comes to my mind is usually, You know, and that's the big amen. I got to sort of draw myself out of it. I get to get excited about God. It's okay to be excited about God up here because I'm the one talking. But it's okay to be excited about God while you're sitting down in the pew. Everybody say, Yeah, very good. All right. If you couldn't muster the amen, I'll go for the amen. All right. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. The battle didn't go so well for these five guys, and they were hiding out. The heads of state, they kind of seek this cave and say, let's hide in here. Bad place to hide, boys. But anyway, this kind of reminds me of another cave, another heads of state will seek to another mountain in the future. In the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and let me tell you, there's going to be some stuff falling from heaven on that day. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black, and sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. You got things happening in the heavens. You got things falling out of the sky. It's going to be quite a time. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as of a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's going to be a day. It's going to be a day when all the kings of the earth in their great pomp and they shaking their fist at God, they're going to run into a little place like a little rabbit, and they're going to hunker down, and they're going to cry, and they're going to weep and wail, and rich and poor men alike are going to try to hide themselves from God. How do you hide yourselves from God?
Not successfully.
That's right. Not very successfully. You can't do that. There is no hiding yourself from the wrath of the Lamb. Where can one hide from somebody? You ever play hide and seek? You ever play that as a kid? Now, they play that around our house. And you know, they, Mom, Dad, come play hide and seek with us. And, you know, sorry, Noah, I'm going to have to tell on you here, okay? Is that all right? He's not sure about it. Well, when Noah goes and hides and seek, you know, he talks. He talks a little too much when he hides. So you can hear him in the other room when he's knocking stuff over. There goes the CDs. There goes something. And then he hides. You see, you have a lamp behind the couch. And he'd hide right by the lamp or sit on the lamp. And you'd see the lamp moving around. And he'd go, I'm ready! And then you'd walk into the room and he goes, I'm not over there. You know, and you're behind the couch. How did you know? You know, it's not hard when you know every place in the house. Kids are going to hide. I hope. Okay. I don't want to discover new ones. Anyway, and you know. Folks, as a parent, I know where they're hiding. They're just not that good at hiding. But as God, God knows everything. Where are you going to hide? Where are you going to hide from the man, from the one who sees all and knows all? God's never, you know, nothing's ever occurred to God. Nothing that he said, well, I never thought of that before. God knows everything. So people say, well, I'm going to hide from God. There is no place to hide from God. You know, how often do we hide our own sin? This is a little side thought here. How often do you want to hide your sin from God? You can't. You can't. Yeah, but I'll hide it from other people. Well, you can do that. The proverb says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If you want something from God, you don't hide from God. You know, man is always hiding from God. Way back in the garden, Adam, where art thou? God knows, behind the shaking bush over there. The little bush that's shaking and going on. Yeah, I think Adam's over there. He knew Adam where Adam was. And Adam heard him walking in the cool of the day. And he said, well, who told you? You know, why are you hiding from me? And God knows the answer to that question. We like to hide from God, yet there's no hope for those who hide. There's no hope for these kings to be shielded from the wrath that was going to befall on them. They went into a cave and they said, we're going to hide ourselves in the cave, Makeda. There would be no bargaining. There would be no reasoning. They wouldn't be able to come out of the cave and say, Joshua, we got some money in our pocket. Maybe we could pay you off. Is that going to work with Joshua?
No.
Joshua, if you let me live. If you let me live, I won't kill you. You think that's going to work with Joshua?
No.
No, What do you mean you're not going to kill me? I'm going to kill you. Well, I thought I could scare you. Joshua, I have, have some mercy on me. No, time for that's past. You were the one who picked the fight with me. Do we understand that there's not going to be any bargaining with God, no reasoning? All was lost. They sat in that dark cave. They sat there in that dark cave as the time ticked by. And they were in that cave a long time. Longest day. Longest day. And they were in the dark. They couldn't enjoy 1 minute of sunshine. It wasn't a very happy day for them. When are these guys going to come get us anyway? Come on. It seemed to go on forever. But, you know what happens. Suddenly there was a little break of light. Somebody's outside. Somebody's taken down the stones. Come here, boy. They knew it was going to happen. Makeda means herding. The place of branding, marking of flocks, the place of identification. That's where they used to take the sheep and the goats and separate them. That's where they used to take the sheep and all the cattle and say, who belongs to this one, who belongs to that one? And they sort of separate them all to make sure everybody, the place of branding, the place of identification. The kings had identified themselves with the enemies of Israel. They had banded themselves together. They entered into league against God. They were marked men. They were marked. They had already identified themselves. It's an interesting place where they went. They went to the place of identification. They went to the place of being marked like sheep. God knows who belongs to Him and who doesn't. And someday He's going to separate the sheep and the goat. But I can tell you this, we're identified with one side or the other. I don't care who you are. I don't care what mark of life or what stage of life you are in. I don't care what station you have in life. You are identified with one side or the other. You are either saved or lost. You can't be in the middle somewhere. You can't be, well, I really hope that I'm identified with Christ. I really kind of identify myself with the world. Pick. Choose. You have to be identified with one side or the other. Yeah, but I want to be neutral. There are no neutrals. In this war that we have, there are belong to God and don't belong to God. There are no neutrals. There's no neutral territory in this land that we live in. You are either Him or against Him. You are either of the world or you're either of Christ. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. God said, you're either with me or you're not. Now, is that simple?
Yes.
Does it get any simpler than that? But the world would try to make it complicated. Ask somebody, are you saved? Well, and they hedge on it. Well, I was baptized. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're either born again or you're lost. There are two types of people in this world. There are lost people and saved people. And I know I use that term sometimes, the unsaved. Why? I just say they're lost. They're lost. Psh, end of story. You're either lost or you're saved. Which one are you? Boil it right down to that this morning. Then are you going to hell? You say, well, that's making a little bit too pointed. Can't help it. That's the way it is. You're either in the cave or you're out of the cave. You're either in Joshua's side or on the Canaanite side, the Hivites, Perizzites, and all sorts of ites there. Or whatever you want, kind of ite you be. You say, well, I'm a Perizzite. Oh, good for you. I mean, you're a leech. All right, well, I'm a you. You're a kid. I'm a bitter Babylon. I don't care what you are, but listen, I'm a Canadian. Well, you could be an American, Dutch, I don't care. But you could be saved or lost. It all boils down to those categories. Unfortunately for these guys, they're lost. They're lost. Marked men. And there will come a time when he will separate the sheep and the goats. John 14 says this, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You know the basis of finding out whether you're of him or not? The book. Are you saved? If you're saved, then you'll believe the book, you'll follow the book, you'll look to the book, and I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, I'm not saying that you're going to do, you know, like you can't learn, but I will say that you will follow that. You'll say, hey, look, there's some things in there, I might be dumb, but I'm going to catch some of the things that I can learn, and I'm going to follow those things. And the first thing that God says is, you must be born again. Either you know that or you don't. And God says, you must be born again. Well, I don't know about that. I think I'll just hedge on that. Well, you're lost. Yeah. Well, were you there when you got saved?
Yes.
I hope you were. If you can't tell me, you can't like, well, I don't know the date. Ah, okay. You don't know the date. You're not that good at remembering dates. Fine. Well, do you remember the situation? You were there, weren't you? When I talk with people and say, well, when did you get saved? And they hedge. They don't know. Well, now again, I'm not saying that you have to know the exact date. I wrote it down because I'm dumb, so I had to write it down. I got to go back to it. But that's just me. But what happens if you, well, can you tell me, like, you know, were you a kid? Were you an older person? Why? When was this? Generally, when was it? And then give me some sort of story. I've always been a Christian. Answer, you haven't always been a Christian. The Bible says you haven't always been a Christian. That makes you on the other side. You've not always been a Christian. God says you must be born again. You were born the first time. I'll accept that because there you are to me. But it doesn't mean that you're saved. Are you saved or lost? And you say, this morning, Pastor, you're preaching to save people. Okay. Were you there when you got saved? Because if you weren't there when you got saved, you can't do that sort of thing by proxy. Right? I was out and my mother said I got saved. There's a message for you. Well, who was it? It was God. And he said you were saved. Oh, good. Did you return the call? Well, folks, it's important. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? There will come a day when his enemies will be made his footstool. Now remember that, because we're going to get to this where they put the foot on the neck. Ooh, I like that. That's kind of an interesting thing. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Who's the footstool? Are you going to be his footstool? Judgment seems to pass these guys by. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. Judgment seems to pass by these guys. Put them in the cave. They all fled there and they're hiding there in the cave. Fine, roll some stones on it. We'll get back to them later. Judgment seems to go by them. But you know what hems them in? They're trapped in the cave. They sought refuge in the cave, but it turns out that the cave was a trap. What they thought was going to be their salvation turned out to be their damnation. They sought help. Isaiah says this, 28, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. You know, a lot of people say, I've got an agreement with death. Are you going to be okay when you die? Yeah, I'll do fine. I'm at peace with God. You are? Really? So you're saved. You've been born again. You've confessed your sin. You've forsaken your sin. You've turned to Jesus Christ. You've put all your hope and trust in Him. No? Oh, you have your religion. Oh, wait, oh, You just hope that things are all going to turn out. You say you have an agreement with death. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. We've got an understanding. You know, a lot of people say this. They don't use these exact words, but they have this idea. We have an understanding. Me and God's got this understanding. He knows. He understands. I'm not good enough. You know, if I go to church, the walls will fall in. Hasn't happened yet. A lot worse people than you showed up. But, you know, that's a good excuse. Why don't you give it a try? See if the walls do fall in. But, you know, God will understand. Well, who are you making an agreement with? You making an agreement with God? Because God says He's not going to make an agreement like this, that He's got one agreement, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. No, you've made an agreement with somebody else. Your own conscience. You've run into a cave. You've run into a refuge, but a refuge of lies. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. It's not going to come near me. Hey, you know, people think that death is not going to happen to them. They strangely think that it's going to happen to everybody else, but it's not going to bug them. It will bug you. It'll come to you. And people get scared once in a while. Some things happen to them. They say, well, and they still put it off. Ah, no, I'll be all right. Listen, death happens. But to the saint of God, you know where you're going. You're good. You do. You say, I have made peace. Because God's made peace through the blood of His cross. I can trust in that. But to those who don't know Christ, for we have made lies our refuge. You know, it's all about truth or lies. It's very black and white here. Truth or lies, saved or lost. Which one? Do you take a refuge in Jesus Christ, or do you take a refuge in lies? Because there's only two places of refuge. You can only find a place of refuge in Jesus Christ, which is the truth. And if it's not a truth, if it's not the truth, it's a lie. So if you take refuge in religion, that's a lie. If you take refuge in your conscience, it's a lie. If you take refuge in your philosophies, that's a lie. There's truth and there's lies. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. This is Isaiah 28, by the way, 28:15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation of a stone, a tried stone. Here's the stone that's going to hem you in. Here's the stone that's going to be rolled in the entrance. A precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. And the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. We're marked as sinners, and we are identified with sin from our birth and by our choice. We are indeed in a cave. When you go into a cave, you can take refuge in that cave, but it's going to be a trap. And there's a great stones that are piled up outside. Some of those stones are like guilt. But one day we're going to be brought out to face the judgment. There's one hope for us, and that's being identified not with those who are in the cave, but with Joshua, Jesus Christ. You know, there's an interesting thought about this. When I looked through this, I thought, there was another cave, there was another stone, there was another king. I thought, but the type doesn't fit. Why isn't the type's not fitting here? And then I thought, yeah, the type does fit. The type does fit. Because there was another king of the bitter rebels, because he became sin for us, was put in a cave. But you know what happens to these guys? They get yanked out of the cave and they get killed and hung on a tree. You think, well, it's reverse. It's reverse. The type's kind of reversed. You find out here that our king was made sin for us. He went into the cave. The stone was rolled in the front. There was a guard set for him, and he was placed there. Didn't keep him. He came and he came to life. That's life. That's wondrous. Not, you know, look at these guys and say, oh, these poor miserable souls. They went into the cave. They got, you know, and they come out and they got killed and hung on a tree. That's all the usurpers can boast. But my Jesus Christ was put on a tree first. He was slain. He was thrown into the cave. A stone was rolled on the outside, but he didn't stay there. He came out unto life. Difference is that these poor miserable souls, you know what they did? Their followers were being put to death by the thousands. They were experiencing misery. They were experiencing woe while they hunkered down and shivered in a little cave. My king didn't send me out. My king went personally. He faced the cross. He was put to death while I stood back. He was put in the tomb. The stone was rolled into place. But he came out alive. And his followers don't face death. They're given life. Boy, I like this. This is an interesting cave. You know what it says? Later on, you find out that those kings were thrown in that grave. You know what? That's what happens to all fake Christs. They're all still in the tomb. Muhammad is dead. People running around blowing people up because putting them in jail over a teddy bear. Can you hear that in the news? Yeah. They're all right and wanting to kill this woman because she named her teddy bear Muhammad. Yeah. What, your God can't defend himself? He needs you to run around and blow people up? Yeah. There you go. He's a teddy bear. Makes me glad he got beat up. I don't know. Folks, what kind of ridiculousness is that? He's dead. You know what the difference is? Muhammad's dead. Jesus is alive. Amen. Ah, but you say, guess who's winning? Muhammad's winning. No. We'll get to that in a minute. You know what the Bible says about that? He's a defeated foe. He's in the cave. We'll deal with him later. There are more important things to deal with before we get to him. Muhammad will be dealt with. He's in a cave. All the religious leaders are dead. But Jesus is alive. And you know, he says, don't worry about that. We'll get to it later. We'll get to it later. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities. For the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. Judgment to these kings would have to wait. You say, well, they're getting away with it. No, they're not. There's more important things to do. What's more important than killing the kings? You kill the kings and you cut the head up and the body withers. No. There's more important things to do here. So what can be more important than killing the kings? The kings are dead. The kings are dead. They're in a cave. There's nothing they can do. Their power is cut off. Go chase their followers. And to the Christian, may I add, hey, we got upset. Hey, the devil's winning. The world's winning. It looks bad for us. Don't worry about it. There's more important things to do. Conquer the land. What? What's the land of promise? What's the land of conquest? What's the land of possession? Your life. how you live for Christ, the character that's developed in you, God thinks that's more important than putting the world down. How do you know? Because you're still here and the world's still going. God thinks it's more important that you learn some lessons in life. Why doesn't God just smite Satan right now? He's as good as gone. He's in a cave. Don't worry about it. What's more important is you chase the enemy. You conquer the land. You get out there. You do that because the things that are going to go on in your life are more important. You're a peculiar treasure. God's going to use you. God's going to take you and you're going to be a trophy for Him in glory. That's more important. Because the world, what's going to happen in the world? God's going to take care of them. You know what's going to happen at the very end? He's going to yank them out of a cave. He's going to deal with them. Don't worry about it. They're not getting away with anything. Amen. The world's not getting away with anything. The devil's not getting away with anything. The flesh is not going to win. Don't worry about it. That's taken care of. You just concentrate on what you need to do. Don't worry that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I know who holds the handbasket. Don't worry about it. I get worried. Sometimes I get all upset that, you know, this is going down. The world's, you know, we're heading towards Armageddon at an alarming pace. Look, don't. God's got that under control. What I need to worry about is to have the conquest. I need to chase those enemies that are in front of me. I need to work those things out in my life. Work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I need to work that stuff out. That's going to be more important. I can't do a thing about that Yahoo that's in Iran. I can't do a thing about him. Maybe I'll send him a nasty letter. Ooh. I can't do a thing. Why would I even waste my time thinking about it and fretting about it? Wonder if he's going to push some button somewhere. Look, I have no control over any of that. But you know, there's some things in my life that's come up. I can control my attitude. The character of Jesus Christ in my life. And you know, God's more impressed with that. God's not going to ask when I stand before Him, what did you do about that nut bar in Iran? Didn't you take on that some young king guy? What did you do about him in North Korea? Oh, nothing, really. Oh, He's not going to be upset with that. He's going to ask me, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you conquer the land that I set out for you to conquer? What about Jericho? How is that going? Well, not good. What about Hebron? Did you conquer fellowship? Did you conquer Deber, the Word of God? Kirjath Sefer, Kirjath Sena. Did you get that? Yes, Lord. Good. Those are the things that we need to be worried about. We got to chase the little guys. Don't worry about the big guys. The big guys are already taken care of. You know what the neat part is? Here Joshua says, look, they're in a cave, put a stone there, put a guard there, but don't stop. You got daylight. Daylight's a burning, folks. Get going. They followed up on the victory. How many times do we not follow up on a victory? Now, this is a little piece of scripture I'll share with you that it's always bothered me. It's always bothered me, and I don't know if it'll ever stop bothering, but here it is, 2 Kings chapter 13. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice. Okay? Makes sense to me. The guy says, now, these prophets, I don't know, they just do weird things. And who's going to figure them out? You know, here's this king. To me, my heart goes out to this poor king. He's standing there, and the prophet goes, smite the ground. I would have just hit it once. Because, you know, you don't want to hit it twice because, you know, look at Moses. You know, there's some real problems here. Just smite the ground. So he hits the ground three times and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him. Oh! He gets upset and says, thou should have smitten five or six times. What is there? Did you tell me this before? You could have told me this before. I would have hit the ground all day long. But that's just the human, you know, nature coming out in me. Thou should have smitten five or six times, then thou hadst smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now, thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. This little tidbit of information you could have shared with me before? No? Okay. But the moral of the story here is follow up on your victories. Keep hitting until it's done. You know what we usually do? We go by half measures. Go by a little bit. And a little bit's good enough for us. Don't stop until it's over. Keep going. Keep hitting. Keep battling. Follow up on the victories. And here's where I usually fail. I don't follow up on the victories that God's given me. God gives you a good victory, follow it. Sew it up. Usually I don't. And I have to go back and do it again. Because the victory doesn't last. So I go back and do that all over again, don't I? Yep. Takes a lot of time doing that stuff, amen? God gives you victory over something, and you're so thrilled with it. Woo, you're doing a little gospel dance or whatever. I don't know. You're all, you know, obviously you're home folks, don't you? You'll be coming here and doing that. And you get all excited about it. And then Monday happens. Well, you know, and then Tuesday and Wednesday. By the time next Sunday rolls around, it's all right, yeah. God gave me victory over that. The next Monday after rolls around, you're back doing the same thing. Because you didn't follow up on it. This happens, usually, in this church it happens about 12:30. Most churches it happens about 12 o'clock. 12:30 happens. Now, I'm just saying that because I encourage you. Yes, everybody smile. That's a good thing. 12:30 happens, everybody goes, oh, right on, praise the Lord, that was good. Well, at least I'm hoping you're saying that. Anyway, and you know, you think, you know, I really need to change, this really needs to be implemented in my life. Thank God, God showed me that. Out the door you go, it blows away with the wind. And you never think about it again. It's windy around here, I know. And even, you don't even make it to Sunday night, amen? It's like the stuff you're supposed to be doing on, yeah, I thought, yes, you know, that really needs to be, and you're thinking about things, because I see the wheels turning, and you know, I'm thinking on generalities, and you're thinking in specifics, and I throw a generality out there, and you're going, yeah, oh, yeah, that, guaranteed, you ain't going to follow up on that. Probably, you will. How do I know? The same, and I preach on it. Look, I go back through my notes. I go back through my notes of some of my sermons I'm looking at and going, wow, yeah, that's a, yeah, oh my. How about that? I didn't do that. But I preached, that was good. I preached hard on that one. Yeah, that's right. That was a good message. Too bad I didn't listen. Yeah, I know your secrets. Yeah. It's worse for me, by the way, because God's going to say, didn't you say it? And I go, that was for, yeah, it's for you guys, you know. Look, follow up on the message. Follow up on the victory. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with very great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into the fenced cities, and all the people returned to the camp of Joshua and Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Now, here's a little tidbit that I didn't catch this before. Nobody said anything bad about them. Usually you got people murmuring and going on. Even on a good day, people are, you know, if the sun's shining and things are growing, you're gonna complain about the grass going too quick. Oh, it's too hot, and you know, today it's too cold, you know, and what, you know, come on, amen? Whatever. We do this. But this day, nobody said zip against them. Yeah, what are they going to say? You missed me, you missed me. No, you know. Come on over here and try that again. You know, no, they're not going to do that stuff. They're just going to go, it's enough. Even the children of Israel that came back, they weren't looking at each other going, well, that wasn't so bad. That could have been better. Nobody was saying stuff like that. They were saying stuff like, did you see the rock, that guy? Woo, he was gone. Oh, not a thing left of him. There's not a left net to stick up that guy with a stick and a spoon and everything. Did you see it? Wow, I was about 4 feet from the guy when it hit. It was amazing. This was incredible. I must have killed 64! I don't know. There was a lot of them. We just slayed everybody. It was great. What a victory! Nobody come home going, ho-home. It was all right. It was all right. It was a good day. What time is it anyway? I don't know. My watch must be off because it's, you know, it's feeling like it's like really later, you know. It's just not going. I don't know. I don't understand about this. I got a watch check. I don't know. Picked it up. Did you pick that up in Jericho? No. It was a different place.
There you are.
Yeah. Folks, it was a good day. Nobody said bad. And you know, someday, there's going to be a day when we get to heaven. I'm going to like this. Nothing bad's going to be said. It's all going to be... Now, hold on. I know this is a Baptist church. So, you know, come on. Are you everybody okay with this? I mean, they're going to be excited. What'd you do that for, Pastor? You know, I want to come to a dignified church where you don't do stuff like that. Well, come here on Monday morning. It's nice and quiet. All right. But anyway, it's exciting. It's going to be exciting in heaven. And, you know, even the accuser of the brethren, he's going to shut up. Now, he's got a lot to talk about, amen? It says the accuser of the brethren is going to come up and say, guilty, 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 guilty. And, you know, Jesus comes and says, you know, yes, he's guilty, but I've justified him. He's our heavenly advocate. He's our, you know, the only good lawyer that's out there. Amen. There you go. Yeah, sorry about that. Hey, Gloria, you know, I'm sorry about it, but anyway, God's the best, and he comes out and he makes this and says, you know, they're innocent, not innocent, but they're justified. There's a difference between that, by the way. Yeah. He declares you just. But the accuser is still going, look at them, and you know, he does it to you too. You wake up in the morning, he's still whispering in your ear, you're guilty. How could God save you? Look at your life. You're hideous. Oh my. I can't believe that God would love you. You failure. Your things are miserable. Accuser of the brethren. God's going to shut his mouth someday. Never going to open it again. He's never going to accuse one more person. He's never going to bring in another charge against it. Who's going to bring anything to the charge of God's elect? You can't. Ain't going to stick. It's not going to stick.
Throw it out of court.
That's right. You've been doing enough court stuff. There you go. See, he's all upset. That amen thing. This is about the lawyers. I knew you were doing too much of lawyers there lately, brother. That's all right, brother. He just likes it because the counting is in the Bible, and he thinks this is a wonderful thing.
Reconciliation.
That's good. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Time's run out for these kings. Come on out. And whether they came out screaming and cursing with great bravado, or whether they came out sheepishly, they came out. And whether you go out of this life kicking or screaming, or whether you go out with a false peace plastered upon your face, or whether you go out delusional, you will face God Almighty. And you'll be brought out. And one day, the great white throne, man will stand before God, and there was no place for them. There was no place for these kings when they looked around and said, I wonder if I can hide. Would you take, you know, no. Those mighty kings stood before Joshua. Said, come, put your feet on their necks. humiliate them. The people of God come and put their foot on their neck. Now kill them. Kill them. Hang them up on the trees. There was their end. There was no place for them to hide. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Yarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. By the way, that is pronounced Yarmuth. The king of Jarmuth. It means fear. There you go. Yarmuth is in the Bible. Did you know that? And it means fear, brother. Yeah. Jerusalem means peaceful foundation. You know, remember the first king of Jerusalem in the Bible that's mentioned?
Melchizedek.
Yeah. What Melchizedek lost, because who's living in Jerusalem now? Jebusites were living there. What they lost, this is not Melchizedek, by the way, this guy. It's not Melchizedek. He's a king. He's the king of Jerusalem. What happened to Melchizedek? Well, he ain't there no more. What he lost, Joshua restores. Actually, King David restores. But Joshua kills the king. And there's a brief period in there where the experience does not match up with the actuality. The principle is there, but it comes later in David's life. Now, there's a whole sermon in this, by the way, which is very interesting, because Joshua cuts off the head. But the presence isn't realized until King David comes. Isn't that a neat type? The head's cut off. We have a peaceful foundation. But we'll experience it in greater magnitude. The actuality of walking around the streets without the Jebusites, those who are trodden underfoot, when our king takes rule. Comes from Hebron to take over. Comes from fellowship to take over the peaceful foundation and a united kingdom. Anyway, that's for free. The king of Hebron, the king of fellowship. You know, the old king of Jerusalem is replaced by a new king. The old king of Jerusalem, God kills the old foundation we have in our life and gives us a new foundation. Amen? We have a new, no other foundation can any man lay, but it's also laid in Christ Jesus. We have a new foundation, something that you can build upon, something that you can hold on to. He's the cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation of your life. Amen?
Amen.
In salvation, and you got this wonderful picture, comes out, kills the old, the new is in place. The old is this. You had an old foundation. You had something you built your life upon. And it was you. It was your desires. It was what you wanted. Now you've got a new foundation. Amen? Jesus Christ. You got a new fellowship. You used to run around with all sorts of people and do all sorts of things. You fellowship with this and that and the other thing. And you had great fellowship with the world. And when you got saved, guess what? Things changed in your life, didn't they? All the friends that you used to have didn't like hanging around anymore because you got all that religion stuff. Maybe your family got a little bit upset with you because you got that you got that religion stuff. You're all changed. What happened to you? You're not like you used to be. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the compliment. I hope I'm not like I used to be. Unfortunately, I'm a lot like I used to be. But it's getting smaller. The old fellowship, I don't drink, smoke, nor chew, nor hang around with those who do. All right? You changed. You have a new fellowship. Man, you're fellowshipping with people you never thought you would. Say amen to that. Man, before you were saved, I go to that church. If you told you before you got saved, you're going to be going to this church over here, and it's filled with all a bunch of weirdos, not cases, and they're just odd. And they don't, and you know, some of them got real weird quirks about them. And you're going to enjoy going. And you're going to sit there, and this guy's going to scream at you for more than an hour. And you're going to say things like, amen. I don't believe you. I wouldn't believe me. I wouldn't believe you either. But you got a new fellowship. And you know, you enjoy the new fellowship. Just say amen to that. I'm living in a delusional world and I'm enjoying it. Amen. Just nod your head. Good. Yes. Yeah, so no, amen to the delusion. Where else could you go? Where else could you come in the fellowship of Jesus Christ where people would love you? Because there ain't going to be any place else that people like you. Amen. Say amen to that, because I'm one of you. He gives you a new fellowship. He gives you new fear. King of Yarmouth. King of fear. I used to fear a lot of things. Hopefully you just fear just one. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for that's the whole duty of man. What did you used to fear? I used to fear death. I don't want to die! Talking to one guy, he said, I said, well, what's the worst that can happen? You'll die. And he said, yeah. I said, you go to heaven. He said, well, I just didn't want to go tonight. It's, you know, you think about this, you know, you have a car. What's the worst that can happen? And you think, I'll die. No, the worst that can happen is maimed. Amen. He said to you that with that. I just don't want to get maimed before I get there. If I'm going to go, I just want to go. Hey, look. We got a new fear, a fear of God. What else do you need to fear? Any situation that comes into your life, guess who's got control of it? Doesn't God have a hedge around you? Satan can't touch you. Not unless God gives permission. If God gives permission, it's the best thing for you. Hey, there's nothing that can happen in your life that God doesn't know. What's the worst that can happen? You'll be conformed to the image of Christ? What's the worst that can happen? And one guy said, you're going to threaten me with heaven. You can't threaten me with heaven. So I'm going to die. I'm going to go be with Jesus. What's the big deal? That's a good thing. That's good news to the child of God. Finally, when they're dying on their deathbed and they leave, and somebody say, you know, you don't want to die, do you? I'm ready to go. I want to go. Paul said, I am a straight betwixt two. I know it's better that I stay here for you people. Because you need help. We know you need help. God's given me some gifts here and I need to be with you and my heart is with you. I want to be here with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to help you. But I got a burning desire. I want to go to heaven. I'm in a strait. And Paul wasn't saying that to be cheeky. Paul was saying that because he meant it. I could stay here or I could go. I just don't know which one I want more. To the child of God, isn't that like, just that, like that? Man, I want to stay. I want to see my kids grow. I want to see them accept Christ as their Savior. I want to see them follow on. I want to see their talents and their abilities, you know, grown. And I want to see those things. I want to have 5 minutes with my wife alone. When we're too old. And he said, well, we're going to go driving across the country. And we're talking about it. We're going to go driving across the country. Callie said, we're going to be too old to do that. By the time we got no kids, we won't be able to go to the next town, let alone across the country.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you. But I want to go to heaven. But there's some days I'm so homesick, I just want to go home. I just want to be home. God's given us a new fear. God's given us a new existence. Leishesh means self-existence. And you know, we've got a new existence, don't we? My existence doesn't depend upon me. It depends upon Him, Christ's existence. I have a meaning for my life now. I didn't have one before. I have one now. You've got meaning for your life. Because you know what God does? God takes the old king out, kills him, a new fellowship, a new peaceful foundation, a new fear and a new self-existence. And Eglon means a skipping calf, unrestrained passions, life. God's given you new passion, new life. I used to sit down every Sunday after my parents made me go to church sometimes. And I'd run home, and the first thing I'd do is I'd turn on the radio. And I'd listen to Casey Kasem and the Top 40. Keep reaching for the stars, you know. Wow, you know. And I'd sit there and listen to see if my favorite song was bumping up the charts. What a meaningful life. What a meaningful life. I bet you those people who played those songs were just depending on me. They didn't know I existed. They didn't care. But I would wrap those headphones around my head. And I'd turn the music up. And by the way, that's why I go say things like, huh? Now? That's why. And I'd listen to that. And then we'd go in our garage band. And we were so good. Ooh. We stunk. Even by the world's standards, we stunk. But you know, that was our life. I have a new life. Something that really, you know, I never thought I would enjoy. My father, they would turn on music, and I'd think, ugh, great, here we go. It's the hymn sing. Yuck. And they'd listen to this, and I'd think, ah, it's terrible. How could you listen to that? And then I'd finally get my parents to let me put in my cassette or 8-track. See? Whoops, sorry, cassette, yeah, that's it. And I put it in. And then my father would say things like, how could you listen to that? I don't even know what they're saying. Oh, and I think, terrible. Amen, I was counting on it. I was counting on he didn't know, understand what they were saying. I wasn't singing along to the lyrics either. Or I'd make some other ones up. But you know, I think, wow, isn't this great? What a passion I had for that kind of music. I could listen to any song on the radio, tell you who was it from. I could tell you who was in the band. Oh, that's Neil Sean on guitar there. That's from Journey. And, you know, that's off the album, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, who cares? It's like people with sports figures, and you know, like, well, they have an RBI, blah, 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 blah. Sorry, guys. Sports kids. I just stand there and nod. Really? Yeah, I see Dave and Mark and you guys, they have these conversations once in a while. Did you know Gary Griffin Jr.? And blah, 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 and they play for the so-and-sos. You know, through the years, I've gleaned things from Brother Dave. Okay, Blue Jays, okay. And then he'll say, select players. And I'll go, yeah, like, yeah, like this guy. Oh, yeah. They think I know. Actually, they're polite to me. They know I don't. They could say anything. Yeah, the Shaq O'Neal, he's been playing for the Toronto Blue Jays lately. Really? I'd buy it. Isn't he a big guy with basketball thing? Okay, yeah. I wouldn't have known. But I have a new life. I have a new passion. You know what's weird about us Christians? Well, actually, there's a lot of weird things. We'll stand around a little corner and say things like, Ishbi Benob. And you go, yeah, I know. Sam just likes the way it sounds. I think it's funny too. But everybody will get, the Christians are, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Man. Joab, yeah, he killed, who did he kill? Yeah, Amasa. Yeah, and he killed Asahel. Or no, Joe, that was his brother. Yeah, who else did he kill? Abner. Yeah, he killed Abner there. Fifth rib, right on. Oh, that was kind of good. Who else knows what we're talking about? It sounds like a bunch of sports nuts standing Kerry Griffith Jr. or whatever, I don't know. What is it? Cal Ripken? I don't know. It's like that's another name like Ishbi Benob. It just sounds fun to say, eh? Kenny Griffey, whatever. Chip. Biff. There you go. But I'll tell you, you know, we have a new passion. You know, I was witnessing this guy at work. Yeah, was he listening? Yeah, he was listening. He took it in. Wow. So-and-so's been going through a hard time, and we should pray about that. What if a bunch of nuts would not eat one day a week for the brother in Christ. Bunch of nuts. What are weirdos? We have a new passion. Who else would waste their time standing here at a church and singing over and over the same song so we'll get it right?
It takes us a long time.
Who else would come and a bunch of people who actually like music submit to a bunch of people who don't and smile about it? Well, actually, they probably don't smile all the time. They probably go home and go, ah! But I'm telling you, we've got a new life, and it doesn't end here. It's just the beginning. God's given us all those new things. And I could spend a long time on this. We'll stop here. They brought the kings out to Joshua. They called for all the men of Israel. Put your feet on their necks. They're not so big, are they? This is the one you worried so much about. And here you are standing with your foot on their neck. Can I tell you, we win? I say that a lot here, don't I? I'm just trying to convince myself. Actually, I'm already convinced. It's just, it don't look like it. We win. Through death and sorrow, we win. Through heartache and problems, we win. There's nothing that's going to stop us from winning. Nothing. As long as you're on this side of the cave. If you're in the cave, you need help. You're identified with the wrong king. You need not the fake king of fellowship. You need not the fake king of fear. All those you need one king, the real king. Him. Father God, again, we thank thee for thy wonderful grace. Lord, thank you for the things that you've given us, for you freely give them. Lord, we need thee. Help us to understand these things and glory in them. Lord, if there's somebody here who doesn't know thee as Savior, Lord, that they would call upon thee, that they would submit themselves to thee, that they would identify themselves with you, calling out and being saved. For there are two people, two types of people in this world, saved and lost. And you know those that are yours. Lord, would you just guide us and direct us this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.